Hi, welcome to another episode of Pault on Power, Power System Design's podcast on the latest in power and power design. I'm your host, Alex Pault, and today I've got Karthik Natarajan. He's the Senior Vice President and Global Head of Integrated Engineering Solutions at Tech Mahindra, and we're going to talk about vehicle electronics and some of the challenges that the design engineering community is facing with the insane number of applications and functionalities and features that people are trying to cram into cars. Isn't that right? What do you say about that, Karthik?
Sure. First of all, thanks, Paul, for this opportunity, and appreciate you giving this opportunity to talk about the vehicle electronics and especially around the connected cars.
Well, it's very important. No, go ahead, please. I was just saying how the importance of it, the challenges are many to the design community.
Oh, absolutely. And if you look at the amount of electronics that go in the vehicles today, it's close to about 50 to 55%, and depending on the kind of segment that you operate in. And this is increasing tremendously. And the biggest issue is going to be, how do you make sure you are able to integrate multiple systems which are getting into the car, and also integrate the software, which is going to be a most important element, and the safety element of it, which I don't need to reemphasize it, which is increasing day by day, and which is the biggest issue that most of our customers, especially the OEMs and Tier 1, face today. How do you make sure when you add more electronics into the product, and especially the hardware and the software or the ECUs, the number of ECUs that are getting into it, require it to be appropriately integrated, and you don't screw up on the safety, and you want to make sure saying that all of them are working in an integrated manner. So that's something which gives a multidisciplinary issue that need to be resolved by the OEMs.
Yes, I agree completely, Karthik, especially when you think about the fact that, you know, as few as 10 years ago, people didn't even think of software as a power issue or a systems management issue beyond simply, oh, I just need some controls, I just need some code to make this work, forgetting about all of the complexity below the deck to make sure that it all works seamlessly and safely, as you pointed out, and of course, obviously, cost effectively.
Yeah, no, I can give one other example. When we worked with one of the commercial truck manufacturers who manufactured the trucks for global markets, when we did the analysis, we found that they have close to 25 different ECUs, and if you look at the engine control units that goes into automotive, this is something which required to be powered and which required to be managed, because you cannot have multiple sources of power, and you got to manage the existing power. And more importantly, how do you manage the traffic in terms of communication amongst these ECUs,
mm-hmm.
and also be able to effectively not compromise on safety? So that means you got to have an effective way of managing the power. You got to have an effective way of managing the priority that you set, which ECUs get priority when you're really trying to deal with a similar communication challenge that is hitting from multiple ECUs. So that's something which is an interesting problem for us to look at. We kind of explored how to really optimize the number of ECUs that goes into vehicles, and also be able to optimize on the application software that you need to manage all of them, and more importantly, the diagnostics, and which can really give you a quick, intelligent information in a short period of time.
Well, and actually, Karthik, that's a good point to bring up when you start thinking about that whole thing, because you can make the system work better by obviously simplifying the code, but you can also optimize the number of ECUs involved. You can also better integrate the functionalities and possibly share the load amongst other devices, and not have, and maybe possibly even eliminate subsystems. I mean, there are a lot of things that you can do to serve this industry and solve some of these challenges.
Oh, absolutely, Alex. I think some of the areas what we worked on, especially with the electrification that is happening across the board,
mm-hmm.
whether it is on chassis systems or powertrains or engines or infotainment, and the amount of things that you are seeing in the car, on top of which the hybrid, the electric vehicles, I think this is going to be a most important challenge for many of the OEMs and Tier 1s in terms of how do I really optimize the number of ECUs I need to put in play. In fact, the trend that we have seen in the last 5 years, as the electronics content has increased and what customers are looking at, the system integration becomes all the more critical. The system architecture becomes all the more important,
mm-hmm.
because that defines how you want to really allow multiple components need to come together. And one of the examples that I want to highlight was when we really want to work on a electric vehicle motor controller, and which is supposed to operate at more than 90 volts DC, and how do you make sure that this power is managed and efficiently, and how do you make sure that you are able to connect with some more application that we can bring with solar, and can we really use solar and electric power more efficiently in powering up multiple motors and actuators that are used in the system, and can we also use telematics here, and when we talked about the connected cars, how can we really allow it to efficiently monitor your performance of the battery, and can it also help you in monitoring the battery performance, also helping you with suggestions and tips, and including the nearest charging station for you, and can you also integrate in such a manner that if you are able to connect that charging station that you have with the smart grid, and can you really be able to optimally charge in the right time so that you are not really increasing the load on the power in the total grid. And I think that's a kind of challenge that we wouldn't have anticipated 10 years back. And now you are adding multiple devices into the grid, and how do you make sure that you are able to make them to be available all the time, at the same time available at an affordable price?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Karthik, you're really touching on some fundamental issues of the industry, because a lot of vehicle designers aren't even thinking about the ecosystem outside of the vehicle, but you're absolutely right. Future vehicles are going to have to be able to seamlessly integrate with the Internet of Things and the smart grid in order to properly function.
Absolutely. And what we have seen is when you are really talking about connected homes or connected cars or connected grid, I think essentially you need to really allow multiple devices to be connected, and the Internet of Things will play a very, very important role. And in fact, what we also feel, the Internet of Things will make a kind of a fantastic experience for the end users. And for example, some of the things we are working on includes a kind of a cognitive companion, which is supposed to track how well a driver is driving.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of measuring the average speed and average number of brakes that he applies, and the steering control that he uses, how efficiently he's using it, with more and more electronics that is available, can he also tap into that to really assess the performance of the driver?
Mm-hmm.
So he can also be able to quantitatively say or qualitatively say somebody is a dangerous driver versus safe driver. So what we realized is some of this intelligence can be effectively used, which is already available in the car, in the CAN network, and can we tap into that, and can we make sure that we give tips and suggestions for them to improve their driving quality, and also be able to suggest, saying that some of the ways to improve the fuel efficiency, which is one of the key factors for especially the emerging markets, and how do you make sure that you can really use the connected cars, not only enabling them to be connected on the move, but also giving them something where they would be able to see the benefits on.
Mm-hmm. So now, what is Tech Mahindra doing specifically to aid the industry? What products and services are you rolling out to allow engineers to better serve this?
We are essentially working on two or three major areas. One, I would start with what we are doing on the connected cars. And this is more of an ambitious plan that we are putting in place. And what we really mean by that is that the autonomous vehicles that is being talked about is not far distant away. And it is going to really come in multiple blocks, what I would call them as a building blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them is to do with what I call them as a driver assist systems, and to do with your steering, braking, parking, and all of them. How do you really bring in those inputs from there?
Exactly. Again,
from your engine powertrains. And third would be something that you'll be able to use with customer interfaces, whether it is in the form of 3D HMI. And what we are trying to do is we are trying to work on multiple building blocks, including the chassis systems. How do we electrify them? How do you make sure that this can probably be able to control in the form of self-park and be able to do the driver assist on the steering side if oversteering or understeering is being deployed by the end user.
Mm-hmm.
And we are also trying to bring in a kind of a drowsiness detection in a unique way. And we will have embedded sensors on the seat, and which measures the vitals of the drivers. And the moment you start feeling that some of the vitals are not good, and it kind of gives the information back to the driver saying that, hey, you look tired, and can you take a break? And some of those building blocks, we are working on multiple solutions today. And some of the things we are also wanting to highlight is Can we offer interoperability of multiple operating systems?
Mm-hmm.
Interoperability of tapping into the ECUs of the vehicles and trying to give an intelligence about the vehicle performance back to the OEMs, and also bring in a multitude of intelligence about various components that goes into the car. For example, if you look at the tire pressure monitoring, can you monitor the tire pressure and suggest whenever it is underinflated or overinflated, the effect of that could be to the extent of 3 to 5% on fuel efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
How do you make sure that this information is passed on to the driver? So some of those bits and pieces of things that we are trying to do, but eventually with an ambition of building an autonomous vehicle.
Well, those are all, I mean, when you think about it, you're absolutely right. Every single one of those facets are interrelated, even something as mundane as the tire pressure, because theoretically, you could tie that into the vehicle sports system and actually affect the tire pressure not only for safety, but for the vehicle performance. So if the guy's in his Mercedes and dials it up to sport, maybe the tires get a little stiffer, or they get looser on the inside of the turn, or, you know, depending on how fast they can change the tire pressure, you could actually turn it into a plus aspect, and then that's how you get the drivers to adopt it, because it's not just then a stupid safety thing, it's now a performance thing that now I have to keep a track of because I'm Mr. Sports Car Guy.
No, I think that's something where the OEMs, automotive OEMs, are definitely taking cognizant of this, and the connected cars is not about how many new features you are enabling to the end consumers. It is as good as trying to make sure I understand my vehicle performance better, and I know what kind of usage conditions my vehicle users would go through, and measure them or monitor them continuously, and also be able to have better feedback on the maintainability as well as on repair. And in fact, we will be able to more proactively help the customers in managing their vehicle performance better. And second thing, it will also enable the OEMs to design better cars, because you have a lot more inputs about the usage and usage conditions, and plus how well your vehicle behaves on those conditions. So that's something which is a tremendous value back to the OEM in terms of their next generation product development as well.
Well, excellent. So now, Karthik, what do you offer, what does Tech Mahindra offer to the engineer or to the OEM as ways of support to help them integrate your technologies into their solutions?
I think we offer three things. We offer from system engineering, which is to do with creating a concept and doing the design, which includes the mechanical design, hardware, and embedded software, and also be able to effectively integrate with many of the system performance parameters. So that's one offering that we do. Second, we also offering testing as a service, which essentially means multiple, the VNV cycle, which is typically called as validation and verification. So we do the second V, which is called as the verification portion of it. And third thing, we also work on IS 26262, which is one of the new safety standard that is coming into play. We not only ensure our software is complying to the standard, but also we can consult customers who need help in implementing the standards in their vehicles.
So now, are there any other thoughts you'd like to leave our audience with before we close out the episode?
Sure. I think the way I see it is the amount of electronics that get into automotive, aerospace, industrial, and various other product segments is so huge. And the key challenge for product manufacturers more and more is how do I really make these products effectively interface with multiple customer devices, consumer devices, which are like the smartphones to iPads to various other tablet devices. How do you really make sure you get the customers to have a seamless experience when they use your products or when they use their own handheld devices? How do you make sure that they interface seamlessly? So we are working on a couple of interesting areas where we are talking about bring your own device, which will allow us to interface with multiple devices,
mm-hmm.
and also creating a connected home or a connected solution, which essentially means we're able to bring in a digital life experience to the consumers at home as well as when they're outside in the form of vehicles, it is cars and aircrafts and various other equipments or products that they use.
Understood. So where can they get information? What's your URL? Where can they get some find out more about Tech Mahindra and what they can do for you?
I think they can visit our website, www.techmahindra.com, and under Integrated Engineering Solutions, title, and we would be more than happy to support any customers who have any interest in these areas.
Excellent, excellent. Well, hey, Karthik, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today. Vehicle systems are getting more and more complex, and the challenges to the engineer seem to keep growing. So any tools and support that they can get, I know, is appreciated.
Thank you so much, Alex. It's a pleasure to be part of this session, and would look forward to understand how things happen in this area.
Oh, we'll bring you back in a few months. We'll talk some more about where cars are. And I also like to thank the audience for taking the time to be with us. We wouldn't be here without you. Tell your friends. This is Alex Pault for Pault on Power. Have a great day.